they picked up a wanted, dangerous, gotta say suspected,
right,
serial killer. And we're on the phone now with attorney John Ray, who we've known for 30 years.
Thereabouts.
Good morning. Good to hear your voice, John.
Hey, fellas. Good to hear both of you. Long time we haven't chatted.
Too long.
Yeah.
Your involvement in this serial killer case?
Well, I've been involved from the beginning when the young woman who went missing, Shannon Gilbert, and the police searched for, when her bones were finally found, after 10 other people's bones were found in the Oak Beach, Gilgo Beach area. Her mother contacted me and asked me to help out and come into the case because the police appeared to have bungled the job pretty badly. So I stepped in, helped out 8 days or so after she was found, maybe even a fewer than that, back in December of 2011.
Holy crap.
And the family's lawyer, the Gilbert family's lawyer. Initially, I didn't. I was asked to step in by the mother. She had heard about me from a media guy, and so I met with her in a bar over in Islip, in Long Island, and agreed to call a press conference to point out that we needed the FBI to step in because the police department had done a bad job, and I called them Pink Panther investigators. That didn't go over well with them.
Not usually, no.
Now, you're one of those attorneys, if you get pulled over, you're not getting a break.
No.
Yeah. No, you for sure. So, and so a few days later, I get a letter, a very long letter, from a detective, a homicide detective in the case, telling me I'm all wet in my conclusions and what have you, or what I asked for. And he went out and pointed out in detail that when Shannon was with the John, she called 911, and there's a 23-minute tape. And when she was with the John, everybody was calm, nobody was excited. She was, she was not rational. She left the house, and, she apparently, according to them, she ran into the marsh and got lost and drowned or died of natural causes. And
wow.
I didn't know. That's what they said. So when I got that letter a few days later, he sent the same letter to Newsday, and it was published. And, he was kind of abrasive about what I had said. So now, I wasn't going to do any more, but now he ticked me off, and I decided to work a little harder. Next thing you know, I was deep into the case with the family, and I went to the autopsy meeting in April or May of that year. And then I decided to walk the marsh myself to see whether or not what they said about her could have really been true. And that's how this whole case really got moving. And eventually, there was a fellow, a doctor, who lived in the Oak Beach community, in the association, who had called Mary Gilbert, Shannon Gilbert's mother, just 2 days after she had disappeared, and said that he had her under his control in his house, and that he ran a home for wayward girls. That she agreed to go into the home and then left with her John, her driver, and never returned. And he was worried about her and where she was.
Left with the John or the driver?
He left with the driver. And
the driver is kind of like her security?
The driver, is...
Escort.
He's the modern version of... Yeah, he's an escort. He's sort of a modern version of a pimp.
Yeah. But, they're usually referred to as a cousin.
Yes.
In other words, this is a family member or a brother.
Right.
Not quite. They're somewhere in between. Nowadays, the term is gorilla. So anyway.
Like muscle, basically.
I guess.
Make sure money happens,
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he, this accusation, Hackett denied that he ever did that. He denied that ever happened. and 48 hours confronted him with his with phone records that they had from I guess from Shannon. I'm pretty sure it was, yeah. And it showed that he made the call, and a bizarre call. And so this triggered a huge controversy. Who's the killer? Of all these people, and is this doctor the killer of Shannon? And then he lied again. He said he never made any other calls. That he and his wife searched their phone records. There was no other calls. And I had records that he did make another call to Mary Gilbert. And he had made it from New Jersey. So he denied he was ever in New Jersey, and he denied he ever made the call until I confronted him at a deposition where he admitted that he made the call, said he just forgot about it, but denied he made it from New Jersey, but it pinged off a tower in Hasbrook, New Jersey. So, the whole thing pointed to something was really wrong here. And to make matters worse, far worse, right after I came into the case back in December of 2011, a new chief of police was appointed. His name was James Burke, and he had been busted and ranked twice in the police department for having allowed a sex worker who he had picked up on Albany Avenue, a notorious street over in Amityville, and had sex with her, and she had become his girlfriend, and he had let her have his car and his gun twice. And he also had another sex worker living with him, working out of his house and actually running a ring. And he gets promoted to the chief of police of Suffolk County, the fifth largest suburban police force in the nation.
Wow.
And the highest paid in the nation. And he becomes the police chief, and the first thing he does in January of 2012 is he shuts down the entire investigation, claiming that the cadaver dogs don't like to work in the winter out in the marsh. Absurd claim. And, of course, there was only one cadaver dog Suffolk County was using, by the way. They made a picture with lots of dogs. The other dogs were all just props. In any event.
This a lot when I hear a really compelling story. It's right. Like, this is a Netflix thing.
Right.
We're talking to attorney John Ray from Long Island about this suspected serial killer that the police picked up over the break. John, how many victims do they think this guy murdered?
Well, that's even controversial. There's right now, they've charged this fellow, Rex, with three of the deaths of three of the girls who were laid in tandem along Ocean Parkway.
Those are referred to as the Gilgo Four.
The Gilgo Four. Right. They're wrapped in burlap.
The first one they found is from Norwich, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So they were found, with burlap. Anyway, the three of the four he's charged with, they're about to charge him with the fourth one as they, I guess, organize their evidence. But then that still leaves seven others. These are 11 in total. And the others, several of them were chopped up. Their bodies were found, two of their bodies, their trunks were found out in Manorville, 40 miles away from Ocean Parkway at Oak Beach.
They think it's all the same person?
Yeah. Well, now we're hearing that for the first time. There was a debate about whether there was one or more than one between the police department and the DA's office for years. And there's also a baby, an 18-month-old baby, that was killed, intact, but left to die or killed and put with one of the other bodies, not her mother. And then there's others that were, their arms and heads were found along Ocean Parkway, and
wow,
legs washed up in Fire Island.
But what are the profilers saying? Are they saying they think it's the same person?
Well, the profilers had most of them had vaguely picked. I'm not impressed with the profilers at all.
One was spot on.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that was spot on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it, there's certain things that it pretty much you would figure out without profile. They're factual things that you could attach to this guy Rex, and the rest of it, yeah, is guesswork. We know the relative age of the guy from the phone call that he made to Melissa Barthelemy's sister with Melissa's phone. So we know that. We also knew that it was fairly well known in investigative circles that the pinging of the tower, a phone call was made that pinged off of a tower in Massapequa, one in Freeport, and there was a trail of them along sort of, you might say, following either the railroad or the Long Island Expressway, or more likely Southern State Parkway. So we knew that there was somebody in or around Massapequa who was making the calls. You know, that also includes Oak Beach and Ocean Parkway in the area, what the police call the box that they drew. So those things were known. I mean, I don't know how that's a profiling. Yeah.
Well, there was a profiler I read about in the New York Post over the weekend that said, you know, probably over 10 years ago, he said it's going to be a white guy, well-educated,
right,
well-spoken, right, probably works in the city, married, kids,
right,
and, easy to talk to, like a part of the, the neighbors wouldn't say, oh, yeah, I always knew he was creepy.
No red flags. Yeah,
it seemed like they nailed all that.
Yeah, they did. The Manhattan thing was easy because the calls to Melissa Barthelemy's sister were being made from Manhattan. So, that wasn't a stretch. So you had Manhattan and Massapequa. It's good profiling, but it didn't lead to anything.
When I was reading something, it seemed like this should have been wrapped up quickly because he had a Tinder account and a burner. He was using burner phones, and he was accessing the fake email from his regular cell phone. And you would think any investigator who does
this
electronic stuff, you'd be able to connect these dots pretty quickly, don't you think, John?
Well, yeah, and also one of the witnesses to one of the girls who was killed, he identified an avalanche vehicle to the police that this guy was driving because he had seen the guy, and he had described the guy to the police. So they had the man's description. They knew that he drove an avalanche, and with the pinging in Massapequa, I don't know how many people drive avalanches in Massapequa Park. Rather,
right, you could just start staking out neighborhoods. And this guy's tall, so a description of him
is tall. Yeah,
yeah.
Very
big.
Tall.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Big
guy.
Dude.
Very big guy.
Yeah. Right. So. I don't.
I'm getting a different sense from this. I was going to talk to you about, the case, but I didn't realize the story here. It will be, of course, that many innocent people died horrible deaths.
Yes.
But also it's going to be like, wow, this should have stopped fast.
Yeah, a long time ago.
They should have got this guy early.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's the underside of the coin. The upside is that once this district attorney, Ray Tierney, took over, he became the DA, got elected. And the police commissioner, Rodney Harrison, took over about the same time. They put their heads together for the first time and came up with a task force that within weeks, within less than 2 months of the forming of the task force, they already had the major lead to this guy, and everything went downhill after that.
So it was all there.
Yeah.
It was all there the whole time.
Yep.
Yeah, so but they did a fabulous job, and the police department was involved in that. Of course, they're part of the task force, so everybody's applauding them, and I am too. I think it's wonderful. Who needs to say more? We know it was a great find and great police work at that.
So you think this is the guy?
Yeah, he's the guy that certainly killed those four.
Right.
It's an open question. There's consistencies in whether he killed others as well, because they're chopped up, they're handled differently, they're not wrapped in anything.
That doesn't seem consistent with a serial killer. They're usually
right.
Yeah,
they got a method. And
there's a consistency.
They stick to it.
Right,
but not always. I mean, they can change their methods over the years and so on. But Anyway, with this guy.
But with, for the four, for the other you think this is the guy?
Well, it looks more, yeah, for the four, it looks certain to my mind. He's lock, stock, and barrel. He's done. But, you know, he's also a hunter, a proficient hunter. He had a license. He had many guns. And he owned places in various places around the country where he would be able to go hunting. And a hunter is, you know, when they hunt their game, they're able to chop, you know, they learn how to, you know.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
And chop them up.
He could easily be tied to these other things.
Right.
Yeah, and they got him through the pizza crust. Like, that was a big part of the story. Like, his DNA that was found on one of the victim's hair matched his DNA. And the cops, like, just kind of followed him. And he ate a pizza, threw the box away.
Right.
They grabbed the box. They do the test.
They always
got him. Yeah,
they got him through the pizza, but I think though the hairs were his wife's hairs that were on the tapes that he used to mummify these girls to wrap them up.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus!
So, you know, and she was, according to the police, she was away on vacation with her children on the occasion when all three of them were disappeared. So, you know. I don't know. I mean, his house was, according to one witness who went there, saw it, broken down house. This is an architect.
That was weird to me.
Right.
He's an
filthy,
architect,
right?
And the house is falling apart. There was a 2x4 holding up the front porch. I was like, AJ has a nicer porch.
I do. If you want to say that, yes.
It's not possible. This guy's an architect in New York City.
Wait, I'm no architect.
No, I thought you could. They thought you were in a nursing home, weren't you?
No. Not that old, damn it,
John. I got to go and wrap up this break, but I could talk to you all day about this. And thanks.
So we're going forward. You know, we've still got to get the Shannon Gilbert case solved, and we got to get these other ones done too.
This guy's been lighting the world on fire over there on Long Island for decades.
Yep.
And he's still at it. Attorney John Ray. We'll link up on the radio station website. Thank you, brother.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.